You kindly turn to 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. We'll read from verse 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Verse 18. But now have God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it pleased him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to all our souls. I would like, in this last session of this meeting, to try and interest ourselves in our vital part that we play in the body of Christ. Now, we have heard concerning the mystical body of Christ and the local side of that expression. But I would love to turn our minds, even in these last minutes, to our Lord Jesus and to see how that members in his body function towards him. That is, how each individual is enabled by the Spirit to minister to him. What I am trying to say is that every part of the body is quite unique. We know that there are more prominent parts in the body, and we judge that there are parts of the body more important than the other. But we want to see this afternoon that in this body, every part has been placed as it pleased him. You know, when you were taken into the hospital in relation to your appendicitis, they told you, well, it's a very unnecessary part, that. There was no real need for that appendix. And I know there's qualified people here, and they know I'm not qualified in these things. But that is the common jargon, that part of the body is unnecessary. But this verse gives the lie to that. That God hath set the members in the body as it pleaseth him. That is, that they are divinely set in the body. Now, I'm here this evening just to encourage you. Time is very short. But I want to give you a lift and to explain to you that as being in the body of Christ, you have a function. And that function no one else can do quite like you. Well, says someone, when I came here this afternoon, I never gave it a thought that I was important at all. But you know, if you are a member of the body of Christ, then you are important. And it is obvious that you have a function. Say someone, I'm waiting till I get my pension and my superannuation, and then I'm going to find out before God what is my function. What a pity. What a pitiful soul. What a pitiful soul you really are. You know, when Paul got saved on the Damascus Road, there was hardly a split second between the moment of salvation and the moment he was saying, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now, from that point, I want to raise other points. I am well aware that there are people who could do things that no one else will ever need to do. There were people that gave to Christ things that no one else will ever, ever be able to do that again. There were ministries to Christ that no one else but certain particular people could function in. But I want to broaden it out and to show you that you and I, whether we're known or not known, that there is a function for us. There is a place for us. There is a function in the body of Christ. I mean, if after the meeting you come to me and you say to me, I don't know what my gift is, then you would make me sadder than I've been for years. I don't hold that. I hold that everyone in the body of Christ has got a function. Now, say some of you have said that three times. Well, I've said that three times because of the dullness of the hearers. I want everyone to understand before I commence that you have a function. And it's to stir up that function and to give you to understand that no one can do it just quite like you, and that God has anticipated 1989 in Vancouver conference, and God is speaking to you. And there's no one shall be able to do the thing quite like you can do it. It's someone that's quite mysterious what you're talking about. People doing things for Christ that others can't. Well, what I'm thinking about is, there'll only be one Mary, the mother of Jesus. There was only one visitation to one woman. Gabriel will come to Zacharias in relation to John. But Gabriel comes to Mary, and these are his words to her. Thou art highly favored. Highly favored to be the vessel. Highly favored to be the medium through which the Son of God would come into the world. Thou art highly favored. Now I know that no one will ever be able to fulfill that ministry. But it's the highly favored part that I really want to lift up. Thou art highly favored. Could I turn it round another way? Thou art highly favored to be the vessel to communicate and bring into the world and set forth Christ. Thou too art highly favored. You are highly favored to be able to speak for Christ and represent Christ and live Christ and be a living epistle of Christ. Thou too are highly favored. I think it is with shame we look at times into our hearts on our lack of real attention to Joseph, the supposed father of the Lord Jesus. What a favor was bestowed upon him. What favors is someone? Did he not bring Christ up? Did he not feed him? Did he not clothe him? Was it not said of him, he took the young child and his mother and he took them into Egypt to protect them? Do you not see any loveliness in that? What a ministry. I know Mary's is unique. What a ministry to give food to Christ, to give shoes to Christ, to put a cover on the back of Christ. I've often coveted some people things. I've often coveted Joseph the privilege of bringing Christ up to the years of responsibility. What an honor. What an honor. You see, these are unique cases, and we're not going to have the time. But I would love to broaden it all out until in every seat in this conference, in the auditorium here, I want to show you that as being a member of the body of Christ, you have a particular ministry that no one else can fulfill. Just in case you think I'm not sound on this, you remember at the end of Colossians 4, Paul says to Archippus, say unto Archippus, that he fulfill the ministry that he hath received in the Lord. See that he fulfill it. He had a ministry too, and it was his honor to have that ministry and to give it. It is too long to go through it all, but there was a ministry to Christ from the wise men that no one else could fulfill. I've enjoyed in my spirit and soul the variety of that ministry, that gold, that frankincense, and that myrrh. You know, lots of brethren try to make all these things into one with spiritual gymnastics, but you can't do it. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These were unique things to present to Christ. Wonderful in their concept. Wonderful honor. Wonderful exercise. That was their place in life. We never heard about them before. We'll never hear about them again except through us repeating them through the scriptures. Their names are not mentioned. Their homes, their lives, their backgrounds, it's all hidden. It's only what they did. Did you know that they could just have missed it? They went into Jerusalem and they began to search the Bible into those places where everybody knows the Bible. They know the text and the tense. But they don't know how to get about and find Christ. It is one of the saddest things in my life to travel among the Lord's people, to try and preach to them, and they haven't the desire themselves to personally seek after Christ. You can't seek after Christ and not be different, and not be humble, and not have longings, and not look on poor sinners. You can't. You can't be praying and not be changed. What a unique thing it was that they brought unto Christ. There's someone, well, that's three things. We're out. We're out! John the Baptist gave him something. Something that you all can do. He gave him his true place. He says there is one mightier than I. There is one mightier than I, the latcher of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. That was the place of the slave in any Eastern Oriental home. Was to loosen off the shoes, wash the feet. That was the slave's position. Listen to this. I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose his shoes. He knows how to give Christ his place. Now we'll never need another virgin. No one will ever have the honor of Joseph. We're never going to be able to put gold and frankincense at his feet. But I don't know a living person in the room but that cannot really give Christ his true place in their heart, in their mind, in their ministry, in their gospel. Wonderful, really. This is something I want to linger over. It was a man not attached to the nation, the centurion. He gave Christ respect. He knew something about Christ and he knew something about himself. That's how men make progress unto God. We learn to know who Christ is. How beautiful he says to him, Lord, I understand your presence is not needed for the recovery of my servant. Your presence is not needed. I know who you are. Speak the word only. What a beautiful thing that was. That man saw through all that. Kind of linger there. You know, Nathaniel gave Christ his full title. Thou art the King of Israel. Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Every other Jew, what was he looking for? He was looking for the King of Israel. But no one ever grasped that the King of Israel was to be the Son of God. And he says, Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. He got beyond what was national. He got beyond what everyone else was looking for. And he saw in depth who Christ
really was.
You know, Christ says, I saw you too. You know, he found out who Christ was and gave him his full title. And by the way, we don't talk about the King of Israel, do we? Do we give Christ his full titles? I think it's lovely to hear those blessed names coming rolling off every other man's lips. Lord Jesus Christ. Young people, this isn't for the teachers. The meaning of those three things are this. He's Lord as to his sovereignty. He's Jesus as to his humanity. He is Christ as to his messianic glory. And it is the mark of the Gentile churches, of New Testament Christians, to address the Lord Jesus as Lord Jesus Christ. Most beautiful language. And so he gave him his full title in the limits of the revelation. But says someone, I'm not like him either. Says someone, what about the children that have come today? Isn't it lovely to see them? Beautiful. Lovely to see the children. In the Gospel by John, chapter 5, someone says there's a lad here. He's got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Barley loaves were the bread of the poor. The small fishes were the lot that was consigned to the fishermen. All the big fishes were sent to Jerusalem to the Roman garrisons. And that was the food of the poor as well, the 2 small fishes. There's a lad here. You know, if this had happened in 1989, we'd have been looking for his name for the magazine, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we? And who his mother was. And who his father was. There's a lad here. You know, I thought about the lad and I thought about the conference. You know how you went down to the cafeteria and I saw some of you eating away there so very happily? But here's a lad that went to a meeting with no cafeteria. And here's a lad that was determined to see the meetings out. He was there for the whole session. With his 5 barley loaves and his 2 small fishes. I don't know how boys react. You've all reared boys in your time and so have I. Hard to get a boy's lunch of them, isn't it? We don't hear of any gripes or any resistance. And he hands it over. Beautiful, isn't it? Is there a lad here? The Lord's not looking for the wonderful vessel of Mary and everyone. There are things that only certain people can do and function. But there's a lad here. There's a lad here. Would you part with your little bag of buns? Oh, think about it. They became immortalized. Immortalized! Because he parted with them. Handed them over to the disciples. To hand to Christ. To find a blessedness in his holy hands. And after he'd lifted up his gaze to heaven, he blessed that bread and those fishes. And everyone was fed. 5,000 besides men and women. And still some left over. Oh, for lads. Oh, for young people. To put what they've got at the disposal of Christ. And so there is a lad. Yeah. The first miracle in Matthew's gospel is the miracle of the leper. And the leper says to Jesus, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. Because I know that in this room there's lots of sermons being preached on this. And they all preach the same, strange enough. Lord, if you're willing. That's not what it means at all. But what it does mean is this. If thou wilt. If it concurs with thy will, if you agree with it, if thou wilt, this is the best thing for me. You know, the leper was loathsome, but he was very learned. I judge a man as learned in this room. I judge a man as learned when he grasps that Christ has got a will. A will that is his own. And so he gives the Lord
His sovereign will.
Now, says someone, there's a lot of ladies here. Well, that's very nice. It's not a real meeting without both in the meeting. I hope you all believe that. But you know, there's three women in the Gospel by Luke chapter 8. And three of those these three persons were all of different class. And each of these persons together, maybe they weren't brave enough privately, but together, it says they ministered unto him of their substance. Now that was a very wonderful thing, wasn't it? Now they can't preach. They can't do what others do. But here they found an avenue whereby they could bring pleasure unto the Lord. See, someone, but I couldn't be classed among them. But doesn't John say that Martha made him a supper? Martha made him a supper. Now, the credit's not given to Mary because she didn't do anything in the supper. But Martha made him a supper. Now, God never intended you to preach. But God has got a sphere for every one of us. And there's a ministry that Christ values. Martha made him a supper. But it says Mary broke her box. Martha has got a ministry. It's an acknowledged ministry. It's a scriptural ministry. It's a necessary ministry. Always remember that Jesus loved Martha as well as Mary. But the box, someone else has got something else in her mind. Something deeper. Do we love things deeper? Do we love to think about deeper things? Things that bring him pleasure? Things that he'll acknowledge? Oh, we're all members in the body and God has set us. It may be you for the supper. It may be another for the box. Do we not read that someone gave him their upper room? You know, when we think back, Jim was talking about his parents. Now, when we think back about our parents, and three boys in this room, and three girls in this room, and the father and mother in another little room, and now amongst us there's more rooms than can be counted. You know, this man had offered the upper room before the Lord took up his offer. You know, if I was giving the Lord the offer of our room, I would hope he would come soon. But you know, the Lord told them where to go and told them the man to meet, they would meet. And he gave him that upper room. By the way, this is very touching in my spirit. Did you notice that the man gave the upper room and possibly gave the water too, and he wasn't in at the institution of the Sabbath? I wish we could do things and be lost in the doing of them. I wish we could give our offerings, and these offerings never to be known. And so I say to you, someone like Martha has a meal, another a box, another an upper room. Will I break it down still further? We read it, another man parted with his ass to the Lord. Now I know it's not asses about here. I'm quite really bamboozled with the size of the Cadillacs and things like that. But what I want to say to you is this. An ass. You know, an ass then. An ass then was a very worthy thing to have. Listen to these words. And if any shall say unto you, why do you unpeddle the axe at the ass? Say unto him, the master hath need of him. Would you part with your ass? Would you set up your room? Maybe that's why there's no assembly outreach nowadays. Maybe that's why, because nobody would take their house and fill it with sinners and fill it with children and wear down their carpet. But that's what the old days was like. And that's how the meetings grew. People were anxious about these things. I would love to have been
Simon of Cyrene in those three Gospels. Not in John's Gospel, but in the three Gospels, helping Christ with his cross as a ministry. And when they went in at the back of Christ, he saw his wounds, and saw his scars, and saw his form that was scarred and marred. Oh, to help him. Like Simon of Cyrene. That was a worthy shame, wasn't it? That was a noble shame. And although he was compelled to do it, like the most Christians I know, they're always compelled to do anything they do. But he was compelled to bear the cross of Jesus. I'm finishing now. It's 2 minutes to the time. I never preached as short a sermon in all my life. Someone gave him a cloak. It says that cloak was woven from the top to the bottom throughout, without a seam. The sisters in the meeting, God bless you all. I've never flattered anybody in my life that I know of. I would love to have woven that cloak. I checked only a week ago. A cloak woven without seam is the cloak of a nobleman in Israel. A nobleman. Christ didn't go about like a beggar. Now don't be rushing away to get a new suit or anything like that. That's not what I'm preaching. But what I am saying is, there was a dignity about him. It was so noble-like that the soldiers sat down. They said, don't rend him. We'll gamble for him. Somebody will get the benefit of it. But somebody gave him a cloak. Somebody provided his linen. Someone gave him a bed at Bethany. Someone washed his feet with their hair. He had set the members in the body as it pleaseth him. One man is allowed to bring linen. Another man brings the spices. 100 pound weight. Oh, to be Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man that became a beggar so that he could minister to Christ. Oh, to be Nicodemus that gave up his big job in the Sanhedrin so that he could peculiarly minister unto Christ. Oh, these men, I know these are unique things. But what I'm trying to preach to you is that you're a unique person and you're living in a very unique day and you have got a very unique responsibility to minister to Christ and to minister to Christ's people and to serve and to live and to augment and to further the cause of Christ in this day. No, I'm not going to miss it out. Suppose I was to preach to 6 o'clock. Somebody gave him a sepulchre. You know, he was a county councillor, was Joseph of Arimathea. And after the county council work, he was seen before the darkness fell in Israel. And he went down to the sepulchre. It says that he dug it out with his own hand. And there's where you could find that wise man digging away. He would say to all, I'm a rich man, I'm a wise man, I'm a good man, I'm an honorable man. But when you saw him digging his grave, there was only one lesson come over. You know what it was? I'm a dying man. I'm a dying man. If his cloak was the cloak of a nobleman, it says he was with the wreck in his death. He got the burial of the rich, and this man parted with his sepulchre as well. Oh, that we could understand that 1989, that there are opportunities to minister to Christ, to further his cause. Don't miss it. Don't say, I'm not this and I'm not that. Just know that if you're saved, and you can't be saved and not have a function, oh, to learn it. Oh, to function in it, and oh, to do it for the glory of Christ.